Hello everyone, welcome to the 2015 Microsoft MVP Virtual Conference. You've just joined the Consumer Track. My name is Sandy Johnson, and I'd like to introduce our first presenter of the day. Chantal Bossé is an author, blogger, trainer, speaker, and presentations and visual communications expert. She has been awarded the PowerPoint MVP title for a second year in 2014 and is one of only 13 MVPs in North America. Her main objective as a communications enthusiast is to assist entrepreneurs, trainers, and speakers in their quest to improve their presentation performances. Chantal gives workshops and speaks on topics based on her guide, which is entitled Seven Concepts to Transform Your PowerPoint Presentations in Visual Communications Tools. Please join me in welcoming Chantal.
Thank you very much, Sandy. Hi, everyone. And a big thank you for moderating my session. So let's start with this. And it is a blank screen, so don't worry. I just want to have a quick question. And Sandy, if you can give me a few answers. How many of you on following this session have suffered bad presentations in the past years? Do you have a few answers popping up?
I don't. Not yet.
Not yet. Well, I will move along. If you get anything, just stop me.
I sure
usually,
will.
When I ask these questions, I get so many people tell me, oh, I've suffered through so many bad presentations. It's become a standard to use them, but it's also become a nightmare in organizations these days. And that's why you all often have, can you make this presentation look good for tomorrow? Or the other one, people might say, another boring presentation. Think I'll check my emails on my smartphone, or check Facebook, or check Twitter, or whatever. And it doesn't need to be this way, but it was so bad that there was even an organization in Europe that started to an anti-PowerPoint party. After the all death by PowerPoint, PowerPoint is evil. And the one I use a lot in French is parboring. It's another word, but parboring means something to people that usually suffer bad presentations. Just to show you, the party I was talking to you about, they even have a website in multiple languages saying that we shouldn't use PowerPoint at all. To that, I would say, never forget it's only a tool, and the tool should be only a support to the presenter. We should really need to use and learn to use it in a better way. As Sandy mentioned, I've been working a lot, and in the past 15 years, I made sure that people would go away from bad slides. We've all seen these type of slides full of text, bullet points, bad clip arts, and we need to move away from that. Made sure that people start to get more color choices that were more appropriate for their needs or presentations. This one is really bad, so please avoid them. And bad contrast. So these are three big problems I usually see, but even though people get to resolve these problems, I came to a point that building good linear presentations just wasn't enough. I thought there's a better way that we should present, and that's why I decided to explore more tools. And that's why I urge people to start going flexible and interactive to make sure that if they learn new functions, new tools in PowerPoint, they will be able to present with their audience's needs in mind. This session today, we are talking about hyperlinks, custom shows, and triggers. But before I show you the how we do this, I just want to give you a little background about what they allow us to accomplish and why it's important if you want to improve the way you present. So if I start with the question, what do I mean by flexible and interactive presentations? We can talk about action buttons. even 14 years ago, I had a question from an instructor asking me, well, can I just go to my course agenda and, you know, travel back a little bit? So adding a home button on the agenda and then the last slide view button, he could at least go back, show the agenda, and it gave him a better tool to present his course. And then we also have another way to be more flexible and interactive. I use this picture a lot in my training sessions. It allows me to discuss color meaning, and I can pop in the meaning of colors according to what people ask me. Usually I will tell them, okay, what color meaning do you want to see first? And I can just pop the color, the information, and pop it out again. So that's another way to be interactive. And then we have another way. Let's say we have this type of graph. If we want to be more flexible, it would also mean planning a little bit ahead of time for your content, questions that might be asked to you, or objections that you might have during the presentation. So if you have this type of chart, let's say that you have the information for three countries and people ask you, well, okay, I would like to see the sales details for US in the first quarter. You can go to your sales details and then you can just come back to your graph. That's another way to be able to prepare. And you don't have to say, well, I do have supporting materials in 10 slides, or try to explain with your two hands instead of showing information and explain better your content or your concepts. Supporting visuals can be very helpful, but yes, it does take a little planning. So after we've come back, and I just want to mention why a flexible presentation is of value for you. Not being stuck in a linear fashion anymore can more easily help you have a connection, a conversation with your audience. Being interactive means you can also adapt your speech. You can customize your message to the audience's feedback, which is very helpful. And it will also make them realize that they have the content for their needs, so you have a better connection with them. And I would add also that flexible presentations will help you connect more, because then you address their most important questions, which usually is, what's in it for me? When you can address that, you will have better reviews every time you present, because then they have a feeling that you've addressed their questions and their needs. And a quick peek here of why it's of value. Human beings have around 100 billion neurons that are responsible for all sensory activities in our body and brain. And I was wondering, Sandy, did you get any other pop-ups? Do we have anyone asking questions in between? Because I do have a question and I'm just curious.
We don't right now. The questions were more for moderation, session recording, that sort of thing. So I'll promise I'll speak up, but thanks for stopping.
Okay. And while I do have a question, let's see if people will just speak up or stay shy and don't write anything. And I'll ask you this question. How many neurons do you think we need to stimulate to keep the audience's interest, Sandy? What do you think?
Millions.
That's even more than that. Even more than that. If we have a minimum of 45 to 60 billion neurons that need to be stimulated to keep the audience's attention for a decent period of time. And that was, according to my business partner, who's worked with some neuroscientists in the Montreal University. And that's when they realized, if we want to keep the attention, if we want to have results, we need to stimulate more than one of our senses. So technically, if we make sure that we use good visuals, if we use good words too, we can make people participate even more. And that's why I'm talking about flexible presentations. Make them care, make them participate, and then you'll have more results and better results. So if we want to start talking about the demo, just wondering, do you have any other information, any questions that should be addressed right now, Sandy?
No, so far, great introduction. I can't wait to see exactly how you're going to do this.
Okay. Well, I'll go out of my show and just making sure that can everyone see it right now?
Yes.
Good. Because, yes, I am in PowerPoint, and you will see that you can do these three functions to help you present in a better way. So, hyperlinking. I like to start by talking about the action buttons. Action buttons are, I call it my quick and simple way to be able to create interactive presentations, and they don't ask to have a lot of manipulations. If we want to insert action buttons, for people that don't know, we can go to Insert, Shapes, and in that gallery, you have the action buttons at the bottom. Let's say I want the Home button. Click. I can draw the Home button, which prompts the Action Settings window. By default, it will hyperlink to the first slide. You could still change it, but usually with that graphical element of a home, we know we want to go back to the first slide. If I click on the dropdown, you could still draw something and have next, previous slide, last slide viewed, and show, and you have many more. Let's go again with the last slide viewed, just to show you. Then we have automatically last slide viewed. So that's the first way to do this. Hyperlinking functions, now we have these that are automatic. Hyperlinking functions, you can also add to whatever slide object that you have. We can have an image like this one. You can even draw a shape. You can tag it with some text if you want to. And the way to add the hyperlink is really, well, first way, I'm a really avid user of right click. So if you use right click, then you would have, I added a link to this one. You have edit link. It shows that we have four different ways to link. For today's session, I will talk mainly about place in this document, but for your information, you can link to an existing file or web page. You can create a new document or even open up an email address to send an email. So for this one, you choose in your list the slide number to which you want to link. In this one, slide 21. I click OK. I could do the same thing with this one. Shape, right click. Let's do the edit link. I could still link to the same one, 21, OK. For people that don't use right clicks, you can go to the Insert tab, Hyperlink, and then you will get prompt that same linking window.
Chantal?
Yes?
I do have a question, and I think you've answered this already, but I want to make sure that that our attendee gets it answered. The question is, can we use another image for the Home button?
Yes, we can. Mm-hmm. Because you can use whatever you want. You can just drop in a JPEG if you want in there, like this one. I could, instead of having hyperlink to the slide 21, I can say first slide. So then I would get, and by the way, you always get the slide preview, so that gives you a hand if you're not sure exactly where you want to link. So you go in there, click OK, and let's do this. I'll go back in slideshow mode. If I click on this one, I'm going back to my first slide.
Great.
That's
thanks.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. So that was for the hyperlinks. The hyperlinks, there's also an important thing that you need to figure out. If you link to a slide and you're there, you also need to figure a way back. So if we go to this slide, let's go at the end. I had slide 21. Don't forget to add that little last slide viewed button, because if you don't use it, then you'll be stuck on that slide, not being able to go back. To show you exactly how it's done, let's go back here. I'll go back in slideshow. We had this one to slide 21. Going back, extra information, I can give details. Last slide viewed, I go back to my other slide. So you can plan extra content, content to answer questions, and you don't have to show it every time. If you have some time constraints, you just don't show it. If you have a question, then you can pop it up. Any other questions?
No, we're good.
We're good. Okay, let's go for the custom shows now. In here, you have a screen capture of some of my training material. I have in here 4 images that link to what I call my custom shows. It's extra material that I can give examples, show some methodology, some visuals, and it gives me access. What I did is I grouped them as custom shows, and I usually use hidden slides. Why hidden slides? Because then if I don't have time and I just go through my presentation in a linear way, I don't need to show them. If I scroll too far, I'm finished and that's it. The material will stay hidden. So it's really a way to having extra content on the fly, and you can pick and choose. Depending on the audience I have for these 4 thumbnails, I might pick only one depending on what are their needs. Or if I'm almost out of time, I will show only one. So I don't need to go through my presentation in a linear way and try to speed through 20 slides at lightning speed and people get frustrated. So you choose exactly what you want. To show you how it's done, what I'll do is we'll go back to that graph I showed you before. So this graph, if we click on the first column, we are able to pop up new information. What I did, I have this transparent shape on top of it that is linked to a custom show. First thing first, let's start by creating a custom show. The way to do this, you will go into your slideshow tab. Then you will have, I'm still figuring out, I'm usually using a French UI and now I'm in the English, so sometimes I stumble. Here we go. So custom slideshow, custom shows. As you can see, I have 2 in here already that are some that were created before. You want to create your show, you go in there, you still see your list. You can change the ones that exist. This one I will remove. We'll start a fresh new one. So new, custom show, the basic tip I would say, let's put a name that will be significant for you. It will make your life easier when comes the time to link to it. Let's say we call it Canada First Quarter. And I knew that this slide was my slide 20. So I choose slide 20 and I could have double clicked on it. And I could decide to add a few other slides if I want. Let's go, let's add this one. Doesn't want, let's go in here. I can add a few ones. So I have a few slides. And by the way, the brackets that you see right now tell you that the slides were hidden. If I decide, okay, well, I did add extra slides, click on them, remove. You can also change the order in which you want to show them. I'll remove this one too. Let's keep it with these 2. I created my custom show. I am good. I can close this window. Now, if I want to make sure I link to that extra data, I will then create a new shape. Make sure I have a solid fill to which I apply 99% transparency. Why 99? Well, in the past, we've had problems sometimes when it was 100%, especially with hyperlinking. So if you make it 99, usually you won't have any problems. I remove the line, and then I'm left with this transparent shape. Now, linking. I'm an avid right-click user, so let's go with this. Right-click, hyperlink. Placed in this document, you have your list of slides in here. If you scroll a little bit down, you have your custom shows. So let's go to my Canada first quarter. And this really cool trick that I love to use, especially with hidden slides, you have that little box here, show and return. If you click that box, that means that after you're finished with the slides, you will get back automatically to the slide that you were on when you first clicked on them. So if I click OK, and I will go back on my presentation. Any questions or problems on your side, Sandy, or is everything okay?
We're all good.
Okay.
I have questions for when you've finished.
Okay. So let's go here. We had the one for the US, but we just created this one. Click. I have the first slide. Click. Remember, I did add the second slide, which is not good, but it shows that you can put in as many as you want in there. Another click, and I'm back, which means that you don't have to worry about forgetting that little action button if you're using that custom show. So, and I just saw another question. I forgot to mention, I did send a handout for this, so I'm sure that organizers will make it available. It's a PDF.
That was one of the questions, exactly.
Okay.
We'll cover that at the end.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions regarding the custom shows themselves?
Not right now.
Not right now?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's go in here. So, custom shows, what I call my word of wisdom for them. Make sure that you create your custom shows first and use significant names. It makes your life a whole lot easier when you want to link, because then you know exactly what you have in them. And if you want to make sure that you're not lost in those extra slides without any return, don't forget about the show and return checkbox to make sure it seamlessly makes you go back to your original slide. Now, we'll go to triggers. That's something I really like to use. What you have seen before, that little color wheel, this is what it looks like, and I'll just remove this panel, this pane. This is what it looks like when we have all the colors. All the groups, it's a group. We have that little color swatch. It was really a shape circle. And then I have that text box with my three definitions in them. Group them to make my life easier for animation. Just to give a definition of triggers, it's really a function that allows you to animate your content on a slide, but when you click on another object during your slideshow, when you're in edit mode like right now, whatever you click, you won't be able to use the triggers. It's really during your presentation. So everything here is overlapping. The first thing we want to do, we want to make our lives easier. So to show you how I did the triggers, we'll make things a little bit easier and we'll start with only one color. As you can see on the wheel, I have all these shapes in here that are regular shapes. I left a line just to make sure you would see them, but it's shape 99% transparent to make sure I have a clickable element to make appear and disappear my group here. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, the first thing, when we have only this information, it's not really complicated. But one thing that you should really use to make your life easier, if you go into your home tab, select selection pane. In the selection pane, you have all the elements present on your slide. And usually, like if I take a look at this one, it says picture 2, picture 4, rectangle 7. And you have all these names that don't really make sense. The first suggestion that I always make to people, make sure that you open your selection pane and rename all your slide objects or group to something that will make sense. Because if you try to figure out, okay, what was the number of the rectangle I want to click on, it will make your life miserable. This is not so bad, but when you get all the elements, then it really gets bad. So for this one, to rename the information, I have my group here. You only click on it, change the name. I called it green group, so it would make my life easier. If I go on the rectangle or the square here, I did rename it to green too. So that would also make it easy to make the animation with the triggers. Just so you can see, when you have multiple layers, I'll go back to my previous slide. Previous slide, look at the selection pane. It becomes really complicated. If I would have all these just rectangle 33, 87, whatever, it would be very difficult. So everything was renamed one by one. Yes, it takes time, but if you take time now, you will save time when it comes the time to animate.
Chantel, will you select that right now so that we can see what happens on
Yes.
your screen? See how it's highlighted? There, okay.
It's highlighted. Although it's highlighting the red group, but it's not on top because my blue group is on top.
Mm-hmm.
What I can do, blue group here, look at that little eye at the right. I can just hide some of the groups, making sure, and let's go with this one, orange group, yellow group, and the green. Now I have only one. That's also a way to rename everything without just moving around your grouped elements. So hide whatever you don't need while you want to rename. But then, after you hide this one, you can bring back the orange group. Don't forget, that's a big thing, show all, because everything that you have hidden usually won't show. You will be missing some elements on your slide. Any other questions about that, Sandy?
I'm going to give you a question, and you can choose to answer it when it's appropriate. We had someone ask if you can link to any type of file, meaning an MP3, a video file.
Yes, we can link to almost any type of files. And MP3 and video file, even though you can link to it, I would have a tendency to probably put them in my presentation show. But yes, you can link
exactly
to them.
Okay,
it's much easier. It will probably place more seamlessly depending on the slides if you make sure they are on your slide, especially for sound files, video files. But yes, you can link to almost any type. You can even prompt the opening of another software if you want to start a brand new PowerPoint page if you want. So yes, you have all types of things that you can open, although for now I won't go into the details. We'll
exactly
make sure that we cover our three main things, and we'll see what time we have according to questions. We
Thank
might
you.
Be able to show a few things. Okay, so selection pane, that's what we did. I'll just hide it. I'll close it. We'll go back to the slide with the green element. And now what I want to show you is how to do the animation to configure your triggers. First thing to do, go into your animation tab. And open the animation pane. We'll start from scratch. Let's remove this. First thing to do, we know we want to have that group appear and disappear according to the element we'll be clicking on. Select your group, and then you will have, we can have a simple appear, simple fade. We'll fade in, and then you have add animation. Make sure it's all already selected. Add animation, fade out. As you can see on the right, we have two animations on this group. Fade in, fade out. If we would leave them like that, we would just be fading in, fading out the group. We wouldn't have any clickable elements that would give us control. If I go on the first animation, then you have, in the same tab, that trigger element. If we click trigger, on click of, and that's when renaming the elements becomes really priceless. I want to have that group animate as a fade in when I click on my green square. So this is the first one. I need to repeat for the other one. Trigger, click of, green. As you can see right now on the right, it shows that you have a trigger on green, so the name of the element, and it will bring up your group. So fade in, fade out. Another element, you have these little lightning bolts that show you that you have some triggers available on your slide. And some other questions about this right now?
Not right now.
Okay, good. So after doing both of these, if we go in slideshow mode, I can go back. I have that little square, click and click. To be able to do all the colors on my wheel, this is what I did here before. Now we have all the triggers. They were all animated, making sure that we would get access to bring in the information, bringing it out. So this is really simple. It's really to pop up color information. But if you do have any other content that you just need to pop up on demand, it can also be a way to become more flexible. You'll get a chance to bring in content only if it's required, only if you have any questions. And word of wisdom for this, you have three things to remember. Make sure that you're really using a logical sequence. So take the time to rename all the objects on your slide, add animations, and then add your triggers. So unless we have very specific questions, I'm really just ready to go on the fly with other details pertaining to these three subjects. It went pretty well.
Back to that other
this
objects
one?
To open audio files, yes. For example. I think the main difference would be, you know, how you said name, first name, then animate, then add the triggers.
Yes.
It's at that animation phase, if you have, say, an MP3 file, that you would animate to open or to play.
Oh, correct? Yeah.
And that's the animation you would use, play. So rather than appear, it would be play. And
it would be play.
Would make that work.
That's right.
Okay.
And I don't know if I have anything on hand. Let's see.
I know.
I haven't planned this, but that's okay. We can see. Let's go with, do I have any audio? And I don't want to create any problems in our streaming. Hold on. I don't have a lot on hand usually. Let's go in here.
Right. In the old days, you would have easy audio clip art available from Microsoft.
That's it. Well, I did add something. Let's go in here. I should have had, okay, hold on. We have too many things here. Let's go in here. Or just start a brand new one. I'll change the layout. Let's go to just this, a blank one. So, insert. Let's go with this audio. Okay. And I can add whatever shape. Let's do this. So, already we have a trigger because we're asking to click on that little area if you want to start it. But when we go back into animations, go with triggers, on click of, I could say that instead of clicking on that little icon we have there, we want to click on rectangle 5. Now trigger is on rectangle 5. And I can also say we can stop it because now we have on click. I'm sorry, I'm getting problems with my stream. My mouse is going crazy.
Oh, it's okay. You were put on the spot, but I think we get the idea. It's the same process.
It's the same process. So whatever you have, and that's what's great about linking triggers and everything. You can play with any objects that you have on your slide. Anything you can put in there, you can play with it.
Great. I do have a couple more questions.
Go ahead.
Cheryl wants to know how we learn to create the pinwheel, or other graphics we want to use. How do we create other graphics? And then the other, is this a picture you added triggers to?
That's it. So for this one, for me, I only used the easy way. It was basically just an image, a PNG image, so I don't have any background, and it looks crisp and clear. But how to make this, then they have to sit down and listen to you because you're doing this after me.
Yes.
How to create graphics. So no, for me, it really was just a simple image and you can indeed create them, but that will wait for you.
Okay. But so you used a stock photo and then you created the invisible shapes over it.
That's right.
In this case, represented by those blue outlines. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, I do have, we have another question. Is there an option to choose hovering over the squares instead of clicking?
Yes, we do have hovering because in those little triggers, let's go in here. And to tell you the truth, I don't use it that often because what I don't like about these, and let's go back in here, hold on. Action, because when you have those actions, you have mouse click, mouse over. Only thing is, with the mouse overs, if you accidentally go over it, then you're stuck with doing stuff that you don't want to happen on your slides.
Right, and you have to have control.
Right. Exactly. So the basics for triggers, it's usually you want to have control. So I like to use on click. I'm sure that whatever happens with my mouse cursor, then I'm not stuck with any other problems.
Great.
Anything else?
That's it right now.
Well, if that's it, I know that Kristen.
I have a question, though. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Sandy. What kind of clients or what kind of presentations are clients coming to you to in need of this type of interactivity?
Examples. Sales reps. I had some medical sales reps that were asked to see some surgeons, and surgeons don't have time. So the marketing VP said, I want to make sure they're really efficient. They had all this flexibility. What I can show you, let's go in here. I built them something, the dashboard, I called it a dashboard because it really makes choosing everything. It could look a little bit like this. Let's make this a little bit bigger. You can structure your content for all the type of products that you have. And then they got to click in between, and they were really pinpointing information to answer the surgeon's questions. And the last I heard, they were taking up the market with their products because they were so efficient. Then I've had some teachers that start to get interest in this type of presentation because they can create a main dashboard for all the lessons or for a whole session if they want to. And they can go back if they need to answer questions regarding past content they were discussing. So that's another type of clients that I have had. And the latest ones were trainers, medical trainers. Again, they wanted some packaged information so they would be able to choose very quickly what type of content according to the time and the subject. So they have a main dashboard and they just click their way into there, and they have a lot of custom shows that were created for that.
Excellent. Another question is, will this presentation be available online later? And I guess I would ask our hosts to advise us where that link might be available so that they can, one, yeah, download the presentation and then your handout.
Yeah, the handout will give people that missed some of the steps. You have some screen captures giving you where in the ribbon and the tabs you can get all the functionalities. Any other questions?
Not at this time.
Well,
nope.
Okay. Well, I think then Kristen will be
Absolutely.
Able to do whatever she wants to do.
Thank you.